Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is May 31st, 2020. And I have the honor to have three different professors on with us. One, Professor Jim Fetzer, and Joel, Professor Joel, and Professor Paul. Now, we're going to be talking about these recent riots that we're having and so forth. And with that said, I'm going to let Jim Fetzer take it off. Jim?
Well, Stu, we're seeing a familiar pattern here where the violence, the looting, and the rioting is taking place in a series of major Democratic strongholds across the country. Of course, it began in Minnesota, where the chief of police of St. Paul in the Twin Cities reported initially 100% of those who were involved in the rioting were outsiders. Now they modified today to say 80%. It's very clear this is a provocation sponsored by George Soros, who's busing in Antifa and Black Lives Matter players, professional provocateurs, just as he did in Charlottesville, which was completely orchestrated in order to try to affect a transition of Donald Trump from putting America first to being an American nationalist, to being a white nationalist, to being a neo-Nazi. You've got these riots going on in Baltimore, in Philadelphia, in Atlanta. You have them, of course, in all Los Angeles and in Seattle and even in San Francisco. And none of it, it seems to me, is going to do the Democrats any good at all. Anyone who has even the dimmest appreciation of what's taking place here can see this is going to massively backfire on the Democrats. There's already speculation that there are three House seats in Minnesota, for example, held by the Democrats that are highly likely to go to the Republicans. I even predict the whole state is going to go Republican. And this is appears to me to be a desperate last attempt. Everything they've tried in the past has been a failure. Russiagate was such a fraud. Now we're getting indictments from key players in the Department of Justice and the FBI. Ukrainegate highlighted how Joe Biden had committed the quid pro quo on behalf of his son with the Ukrainian government to call off the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma, where he had a cushy job at $50,000 a month when he was totally unqualified, and where Biden gave him 6 hours before he flew off to fire the prosecutor, or they wouldn't get $1 billion in foreign aid, and then he bragged about it at the Council on Foreign Relations. Then we had the impeachment when fell flat. When Robert Mueller testified in Congress, it was obvious he didn't even know the contents of his own report. He'd done no research at all on the origins, where we've now had Inspector General's report that the initial warrants from the FISA court that had been issued that brought about all this investigation were invalid warrants, which implies that everything that's been done, undertaken legally as a consequence, will be fruit of the poisonous tree. Then we had, the coronavirus. Now even the CDC is admitting the coronavirus threat is so weak that if you're an adult, you're more likely to die from being hit by a car. If you're a child, to be struck by lightning. I think what we're seeing here is their absolute panic-stricken, last desperate effort to defeat the president, but it's not going to work. I'm very confident it's going to backfire massively, and they're going to have to be dependent on Google, where we know from Robert Epstein, who is the head of Psychology Today, who testified last year to Congress, that Google was responsible for giving Hillary between 2.4 and 10.2 million additional votes, that Google was very involved in 2016 giving the House to the 2018 and giving the House to the Democrats, and that they can bring us 50 or 60 million votes to the side of the Democratic candidate. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to work. And Trump, the president, appears to be aware of what's going on. He's even cracking down on the social media, a very good thing. I'm very glad he's doing that. I see nothing but disaster ahead for the Democrats.
Okay. Now, you made a point on a lot of things, and I'll add to it. Google's one of the ones that does tremendous cyber terrorist attacks against my website, trying to break in, log in, and everything else. They use Google. They got their own system. But let's go back to the riots for a minute. I know one thing. We got black, we got white, we've got Mexican, we have everybody out on the streets. Everybody's defending the fact that brutality and police killings in America should not take place. But this was staged. There's a staged event here because of these two cops working together. And that's why I'm going to bring Paul in. One may have intentionally murdered the other because of counterfeiting, possibly, that the police are aware of. Now, Joel picked up on that too, but we also have, and I'm in 1,000% agreement, George Soros' paid mercenaries are burning America. Now, many of them are on camera, and I thank God for that in one sense, but the other sense, the invasion, but they're using it for drug dealers, these drones. They send them in all these cities where they're having problems. I know in Kansas City they got them, and they're using them. So some people are going to end up in jail because they'll identify the ones that didn't have masks on. But there's some interesting facts to a lot of things. And I believe in the Constitution, and I believe that police brutality in America is out of control. And it's because of Daddy Bush coming in, and it comes to back to operate the Cotola affidavit of the different operations they had going on against the American people, implanting bugs in judges' offices, in prosecutors, in police chiefs' offices. Intelligence divisions of the police department are corrupt across America, I guarantee you. Now, they did this clear back in the 70s, and that was to blackmail everybody. So they catch the police chief having an affair with one of his constituents, should we say, and he's married. Oh, wow. They can get to that guy. Hey, we want you to illegally arrest Stu Webb over here. Done. That's what has happened. Now, we need a cleansing. We need to stop the killing. We need to stop the different things that are happening in America all across the board. I'm a firm believer in arresting politicians. These that have left, guys like this cop, to kill this black guy. This cop had been dirty for a long time. He had a hell of a track record, from what I understand, of brutality. Now, this is why I'm going to bring Paul in, because I believe that there's a lot of good people out there that are out there in the streets. The George Soros used this, and the Democrats, and Biden, and Hildebeest. They're all together. I don't know why George Soros, because first of all, we know he's tied to the lab that brought a virus in, that is bacterial, that the Italian prime minister talked about just a couple of days ago. And antibodies cure it. We know that they let it off in New York and L.A. Intelligence has told me this. They did do it. It was from the Harvard lab. So here it was, George Soros, part ownership in this frigate lab. This guy's a paid terrorist. He created Black Lives Matter. He funded it. He funded Aptiva, I believe they call it. I mean, I don't understand it. He's setting viruses off worldwide. He's a terrorist. Russia has arrest warrants for him. All he say is he has a house, a mansion up in northern New York by Hildebeest. Hillary Clinton, Hildebeest. She lives in the neighborhood with him. So if anybody sees this cat and gator, please call me. Now, Paul, tell us what you know about the cop situation up there, and you're in Minneapolis area. Tell us what's going on.
Yes, I am in Minneapolis, and I want to start, though, by saying I want to go to the substrate on this whole issue, and I agree with what Jim is saying, and I agree with what you're saying, but I think people need a mental model, a way to think about what's happening, because what we have is compartmentalization and silos working, and that confuses people. I need people to imagine a horse track. Now, the horse track is owned by the same people. They own the horses, they own the jockeys, they own the veterinarians, they own the staff, they set the odds. So what we're dealing with is not the left and the right. We're dealing with something far bigger. We're dealing with an agenda. And this agenda happens to be, they're trying to take America down. And at the very top, people know what the agenda is, but between the top and us, there are compartmentalization and silos, which brings me to the Minneapolis cop and the alleged victim. These guys have a history together. In fact, they work security at the same nightclub. So you got one guy that's working outside and one guy working inside. And I can tell you in my professional life, being a high school principal, that those guys knew each other very well and communicated. And then I can also tell you that even in a city, seven county area here in Minneapolis with a population of 3 million plus, that in every community, people know one another. And I promise you that George Floyd was larger than life in the third precinct. And there wasn't probably anybody beyond the recruiting class that didn't know who he was. Now, I don't have precise exact information, but the fact that they worked together says a lot. And the fact that the third precinct is a place where everyone knows everybody else. And what I am suggesting is this was all taken from a storyboard. They crafted this script. Everyone knew their role. George Floyd knew what he was supposed to be doing. The coppers knew what they were supposed to be doing. And I'm going to stay away from the higher level leadership in Minnesota for now. We can go there if you want. But you've got too many people that know each other, that are connected to each other, and you have this COVID going on where people can't breathe, and now we get the new script where you got copper on a guy's neck and he can't breathe. This all is scripted. It was planned. It was staged. I'm having trouble even getting someone to tell me what the cause of death was, the time of death, who killed him. Now, you have the Minnesota governor, and he gets on, and he says the cop killed him. Well, actually, that may not be true because we don't even know the official cause of death. We also know that he's supposedly been charged with third-degree murder, which is a very different standard to prove, and I think it's part of the storyline. First of all, I know that it's not popular. I don't know what happened to George Floyd. I don't even know that the guy's dead. He may be, probably is, but at this point, I think that we have to suspend all judgment and go way back to the substrate and say an agenda is at play here, and we're being fed an official story, which is clearly false, and then the alternative story is designed to mislead, and now here we are trying to figure it out. So that's kind of my opening statement, and I turn it back to you guys.
Real quick, I have a friend in up in that area, and her son-in-law is a cop. And I got, they worked together. He worked inside. The other one, the cop that murdered the guy, supposedly, worked outside. Now, they found a phony $20 bill on him, folks. Counterfeit. Now, this apparently, and I'll turn it over to Joe, was not just a bar. It was a casino. Now, what a perfect operation, either one, to run a counterfeit operation behind, and the guy's stealing part of the counterfeit money and spending it, and he gets caught. This guy shows up, I believe to be in his personal car, because it says police on the back. Now, Joe, you want to pick it up from there?
All right. If you look at the photo very carefully, you will see that his badge is crooked. It's pointing at 1 o'clock. Police departments, when they go through their briefing, check their uniforms to make sure that they are meticulous. If you look at that badge, it's crooked. They don't allow that to happen. Number two, look at the license plate on one of the cruisers. It says police. They don't do that. They have numbers that represent a government car. Now, if you take all of that and expand it, the entire area up in there is these resorts. And I'm wondering, because of the work of Jim Rothstein, when they said that the Minneapolis area was one of the centers for pedophilia. In other words, the trafficking of kids. At these resorts. So there's more that's going on behind the scenes. There's another video that I watched in which a man dressed in black carrying a umbrella and had a gas mask on was taking a ball-peen hammer and walking by AutoZone, cracking the windows and breaking them, but not the whole window, but just enough to where somebody could come in with a mob and break the windows down. This young black kid ran up to him and said, hey, what are you doing? And he began following him as he was breaking the window. As he got further away, the kid asked him, are you a cop? Are you a cop? The guy turned around and said, get the hell out of here. So that is a strange event.
Wasn't it a white guy who was breaking the windows?
That's right.
Go ahead, Joe.
It was a white
guy. Well, supposedly, Joel, he's been identified by a number of people to have connections to the St. Paul Police Department, and his initials are JP. And he's just another example of a person that is owned, who is controlled. Augustine says that, tell me how many vices a guy has, and I'll tell you how many owners he has. And everybody in this situation is owned and compromised, and that's how they pull this all off, is they put people in positions where they have to do what they're told, or sometimes they even want to do it, and everyone plays their role. And so now we've introduced that the operatives start, they light the match, they start the fire, and that then encourages other people to join in.
Now let's take this a further step. A friend of mine and I duplicated the exact event of where he had his knee on his neck. I had my friend place his weight on my neck, on my to where it was strong, but the point was, is that I could breathe. I was not choking. I could breathe. So what is the mantra? I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Hands up. Black Lives Matter. Here we have a mantra, which then points to psychological operations. Again, what was it that supposedly that was choking him? The knee on the neck. I did the same thing myself. I didn't choke. It was uncomfortable, of course. And then I had a friend whose father worked for Maricopa County Sheriff's Department, and they would say, you can use your knee like on the back or on the lower back or on a knee or something like that, but you're not allowed to put your knee on that neck, because there's too much that can go wrong in straining the discs and dislocating the neck. So that makes another oddity of how it is that a progressive department like at Minneapolis would supposedly teach that? I don't think so. So go ahead, Jim.
Well, it looks very much as though this was crisis acting, that the whole scenario was staged. Just as Joel has been describing, you got the guy calling out, I can't breathe, about a dozen times. If he couldn't breathe, he would have been unable to do that. There are arteries on both sides of the neck, and even if it were suppressed on one side, it wouldn't be suppressed on the other. The cop who was leaning on him looked like he was thin as a rail, quite bizarre. But here's some background, I think, to what's happened here. The Attorney General of Minnesota, his name is Keith Ellison. He was an advocate of Antifa. He was a deputy chairman of the Democratic Party. He's a radical himself, and how he got into that position is very disturbing. There was a poster put out about the cop, claiming that he had previously shot an Alaskan Native American, an unarmed black, even a Latino. I mean, this is a poster made up to incite racism. It doesn't look authentic. It looks totally scripted. Then we have growing protests outside of the White House where the protesters are chanting, Black Lives Matter, no justice, no peace. And according to this tweet, they're outraged over the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and other unarmed American African-Americans in the United States. You know, they want to broaden the script to take every social or racial injustice in American history. Meanwhile, we do actually have a video about Soros behind the race war in the U.S. to sabotage Trump while China prepares for war. And then I have a very interesting summation from the Antifa playbook from a friend of mine with excellent intel. Here's a formula developed in the 1960s by Chicago Satanist Democrat Saul Alinsky. Real or fake murder of a black man. Media hypes blacks to get upset and do-gooder whites too. Cops stand down. Undercover cops from other cities and special FBI agent provocateurs come in with hammers and bus shop windows and light fires, encouraging ignorant and easily manipulated blacks to loot and riot. The authorities then make up all kinds of threats and tough talk to bring in the National Guard, and eventually may do so after all the damage is done, and the good older blacks with no cars who are febrile and have now lost the places they buy food and their drugs and are now just plain screwed. It's done over and over again to create mass chaos to get more taxpayer funding. It's called high-tech, socially driven demo and urban renewal. Very crafty, he observes. I think that's the program to which we're being subjected now.
Now, we've had all this stuff through the Trump administration. We've had him being accused of collusion with the Russian government. When it was Hildebeest, it was writing these fake reports. Actually, it went back to Jeb Bush first and John McCain tied together. It was turning it over to Strzok at the FBI, the dirty bastard. He still got a job. I don't understand why that guy still has a job. Anyway, and then we had to have the impeachment from that. And we've had the Corona lockdown. Now, that was Soros, definitely. We know that. And we also know that this is all Soros. I don't understand why this guy isn't dead, really. The Russian government wants him for terrorism. Maybe I'll say it here publicly on the air. I wish somebody in Russia would take him out. If the American people don't do it. If I saw the guy, he wouldn't be breathing. Anyway.
Well, Stu, I want to suggest something here, and this is, it's pretty deep level, but Russia and China, USSA, what it's become here, America, at the top, these people are all in it together. And I'm going to quote E. Howard Hunt. And Hunt said that the Supreme Intelligence Service, the one that's over all the other intelligence services, are the Jesuits. And the Jesuits have been in China for hundreds of years. They're probably in charge of Russia right now. And I wanted to believe that Donald Trump could do some good, but I believe he is totally owned and controlled. And so what you have is you have a huge mess, a lot of moving parts, too much to unravel. And the thing on George Soros is if the KGB or the FSB or any of those people truly wanted George Soros arrested and prosecuted, it would have happened a long time ago. And a lot of this is just to confuse us, for us to believe that they're going to do something. See, there's a real common meme out there that people are stupid or incompetent. I can tell you what, even a high school principal would have had a 12-point plan, 4 subpoints. The response would have been immediate, swift. Everyone would have known what to do. And what we have in Minnesota is the leadership feigning incompetence. they couldn't have known. And when you ask them, what's your plan? Well, they want to talk about how people are hurting and people are angry. Well, this is classic neuro-linguistic programming. These guys are they're rehearsed. They're handled. And I know it's not a popular or common opinion, but Chicago, St. Paul, every state has Jesuit universities in it. And at the very top, I'm saying the black nobility and the Jesuits control everybody. It's that horse track that I gave you a mental image of. They control everybody. They control the left. They control the right. They control the middle. They control control opposition. They control COINTELPRO. And it's so hard to get people that are willing to listen, because emotionally, half the people in America, they think this is real. Well, actually, probably 80% of all Americans. And I think that's the challenge that we have. And I defer to you guys now.
I'll take it from there. Look, black lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter. We have to take our public officials and make them accountable for what they're doing. Playing this game of this false lockdown, all the other crap that's gone on, and all this about the nurses now called Bill Gates, needle dick Bill Gates, by the way, because he wants to put his needle in everybody. That guy, I don't know why he's breathing. Okay, with what his agenda is, of marking everybody up with a bank account, along with changing your DNA, that's your new vaccination. He wants in with the World Health Organization, and all scripted and done by the end of the year. That's what their intent is. So they're going to run the election. They're going to turn everything upside down. We're going to continually be in this chaos until they get everybody chipped up. I tell you what, they come to chip me, you're going to get a bullet in the head, or I'm going to rip your head off as an ex-Marine. Which do you want? Or I'll cut it off. Here's the point. There's a lot of good people out there in the streets demonstrating that are listening, probably a lot of our listeners. It's good to demonstrate. We've got to start putting signs up while you're demonstrating. You want the cops to stop killing people in the streets. Okay? That's one thing you're demonstrating over, the murders that are going on. There's too many of them. We got a lot of dirty cops that need to be cleaned out. Who's in charge of those cops? Public officials, your mayors, your council members. Okay? Go to them. Start demonstrating on them. Remove them from office if they don't do their job. We've got to clean the country up, but we have to do it in a civil manner and not have some terrorist-paid organization, these mercenaries that are paid by George Soros. We don't need this going on. So maybe we should step in ourselves, some of the militia in this country. If the cops don't want to stop the ones that are doing it, burning and rioting, the others are peaceful, maybe we ought to step in and arrest them ourselves. Think about it, folks. We can put a stop to the Soros group if the government doesn't want to do it. Joel, there's some other things. Go ahead.
Are you there?
Jim, you there?
Yeah. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah. Now, didn't you do a interview of James Rothstein?
Yes. Several years ago. Yes, he was a NYPD Gold Shield detective who probably knows about more pedophile cases in the U.S. than anyone else. When I was sharing with him reports coming from the NYPD after they took possession of the Anthony Weiner laptop and asked if he were surprised, he explained to me, no, not at all, because based upon his experience, 70% of the American political elite are engaged in pedophilia.
Now, there was an interview. I don't know who did it. I don't know whether, because I know, Stu, you have interviewed Jim Rothstein several times.
Yeah, he'll be on probably this week again. He's the mayor, by the way, of St. Cloud, Minnesota. And the people came to him and said, hey, we're under lockdown. He says, I don't have you locked down. He says, you're free to do what you want to do. They went and opened their businesses. Go ahead.
Now, he and another detective had really penetrated deeply into the pedophilia area of Minneapolis. and particularly his partner, did. It eventually destroyed him, but they identified the Minneapolis area as a hot spot of pedophilia. Can you comment on that, Jim?
Well, I take what Stu said to be the case, that Minneapolis very much does, my surprise, having lived 19 years in Minnesota, but in Duluth, northern Minnesota, not the area of the Twin Cities, which is central to the state. I was oblivious of this information, but I gather that from multiple sources that it appears to be true. I find that quite stunning, but there it is.
And now, the reason I'm mentioning this is I believe that this plays into part of this chaotic scene that we're experiencing right now. And I think that it has to do with this upper level of intel people that are running a show in which they are centralizing this power. Now, one of the persons that you interviewed, Jim, I believe was Whitney Webb, correct?
Yes.
She has done an extensive paper on that this coming election is going to be hacked, but it will be hacked by Israel.
Well, there's nothing surprising about that. The Israelis have been interfering with our elections right along the way. They've also infiltrated our media so that I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, all of whom are dual U.S. Israeli citizens, another panel of 100 executives from NBC, all of whom are dual U.S. Israeli citizens, a third panel from the New York Times, 100 executives, all of whom are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. And, of course, AIPAC is well known as by far the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C. I even suspect there's an Israeli agenda behind this present effort to destroy the United States, because Bibi Netanyahu said long ago that we're going to bleed America dry and exploit all its wealth before we destroy it, because that's what we do with countries we hate.
Exactly, and I've read the same statement made by Bibi. Now, what I am pointing to is, look at the chaos that has been brought about by the COVID virus. Now we have the uprising. Then we have a supposedly, maybe, a hacking of the election to where it's postponed. Then we have right out of that a centralization for the continuity of government.
And we're going to try to get Needle Dick to put his dick in everybody. Bill Gates.
So I'm thinking here that this is part of a long-term agenda to facilitate crisis. Here's an example. I was watching a video up in Portland, Oregon, Jim, where they had people setting fires to dumpster dumpsters close to the precincts in Portland. The majority of people that I saw in there were not black. They were white. Is this the hired, paid Antifa people from George Soros? What is that?
They were the ones throwing rocks at Trump supporters when Trump was running for president in Chicago, Antifa. George Soros backed. George Soros backed group. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was just going to add, Soros will use white people in communities where blacks would be too conspicuous, and black people in situations where whites would be too conspicuous. I mean, he's an equal opportunity guy when it comes to hiring domestic terrorists. And would you believe that Hillary Clinton has actually used that phrase to anyone who is opposing the lockdown? They were supposed to be domestic terrorists, but when you have actual bona fide domestic terrorists on the ground looting, stealing, committing arson, you don't hear a peep out of her. No word of condemnation. It seems this is a very much a democratic phenomenon. You go through all the cities where these events are taking place. Is where Democrats have political control and where they've created free fire zones too, so that if you place a murder map on top of a murder map, an electoral map, you find all the areas where gun homicides are highest are all controlled by the Democrats. Anyone who living through all of this who doesn't understand the necessity to be able to defend your home and your property and your family from outside forces such as rioters and looters hasn't been paying attention or is brain dead, because this, I think, is making a tremendous case in support of the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. And I will also add, I think the whole coronavirus fraud, which is becoming increasingly apparent, is going to turn give America about 100 million new conspiracy theorists seen through the fake news. Now it's come home to roost.
By the way, the drug that the president was taking, Trump, was in a bottle of Snap's tonic water. It's the one that's spelled out correctly, folks. There's other tonic waters out there that supposedly have it as well, the Walmart sell. But Snap's is the one spelled out properly. That's the cure.
Well, I want to go back to Jim's beginning narrative, and Minneapolis is ground zero, for lack of better terms. It's where the match was lit, but now it's spread all over. And today, Minneapolis now has said, well, we're going to shut down all the interstate highways, and we have a plan to mobilize and put an end to this. But I don't know what's going to happen in the other major cities. How do you guys project out from here? What I think we all agree on.
Grab. It's called the gun grab. They're going to try to get it. And it's all this George Soros and Hildebeest and Biden and the others that are involved. Now, Joel, I want you to add to this, because you were speaking about Israel earlier and what is going on. Tell us about, okay, go ahead.
Here's one of the things that has been going on is that Israel has been training many police officers. They send them over to Israel and get them trained. Into what? I don't know. Maybe special techniques of some kind, I suppose. But then why send them to Israel? I don't understand that. Are we, our law enforcement agencies so inept that they have to send their people all the way to Israel to be trained? I don't understand that.
I add something real quick, and I want you to stay on thought, Joel. But Otis Johnson, Super Spook, told me that anybody in public office that visited in Israel, was invited over to visit Bibi or any of them, they were all gassed in the room and chipped, put out and chipped. So all the congressmen and senators, everybody that's been to Israel, I got a chip. Go ahead, Joel.
Hey, Joel, I just want to add something. I have firsthand experience in two people that were sent over, and believe it or not, this was back in the early aughts, which is like 2002. And why were they sent to Israel? Well, because Israel specializes in training. It's now called law enforcement. It's no longer police. Training law enforcement to respond to terrorism. So the Israeli training is about how do we deal with terrorists, and I think the cruel reality now is I'm identified as a terrorist, and about anybody that believes in the Constitution or has a faith in Jesus, we now are labeled as terrorists. So that's a simple, clean answer, but please go ahead.
All right. Now, one of the things that, Jim, that Whitney Webb has done is to identify the people around Trump. Now, for instance, one of the things that Jared has done is to go over and work land deals in Israel. Why that is, I don't know. until it did not make sense until Pompeo went over to Bibi Netanyahu and said, you can annex parts of the West Bank. Then it made sense. It's the land that's in the West Bank. They're going to annex it. And Bibi Netanyahu has said, you Palestinians are not citizens of Israel. Well, what does that mean?
David, of course.
Say, in other words, what is this connection to this chaos that's going on? Because one of the things that the Israelis are very good at is creating terrorist groups like ISIS. How is it that Israel gives aid and weapons to ISIS? I've seen the pictures of Bibi Netanyahu shaking hands of ISIS fighters who had been wounded and are in Israeli hospitals. So what's going on here? And we now find that George Soros has won elections for district attorneys and mayors. And one of them is right here in Phoenix. He's a George Soros man. Is there a kind of a thing of creating the boogeyman to get a reaction, to bring about certain stringent laws, like with the COVID virus? Wear the mask. You can't leave your house. You have to stay in your house. You have to stay 6 feet away. That's insane. Is that to create a mentality for a New World Order think? In other words, obey. You will do as you are told. You will not leave your house. What happens if there is a hacking and then they have expanded the hacking of the election to seemingly that it's the terrorists have done it, and they have to declare a continuity of government, and they implement draconian laws? Is this part of this? That's my question.
We're part of a beta test here in the Twin Cities, and curfew began, I guess, two nights ago at 8 p.m., even in my county suburb. And even the targets and the commercial buildings are barricaded and boarded, and it is demonstrating to people a siege mentality, and it's a conditioning response. It's also a monitoring response, and so I think you're spot on, Joel.
I'll add to that, you know, you've got, what is it, 150,000 Somalians up there, or Kenyans, that were being imported in. I'll tell you something about these people, folks. Obama, I don't know how many he brought in here, but I know it was around 80 or 90,000 about 90 days prior to leaving or before the election in November. And he imported them in, bringing them in, just tons of them. Those Somalians, Kenyans, so the ones being used by the government and the Mossad, who were involved in all three of my car crashes. It's the same people right now following me. I put some pictures up. It's Orion Investigations, Charles Sicali, or Stevens, Charles Stevens, who was an old dirty FBI, part of Crow and Associates, Daddy Bush's boys, this network that Ted Gunderson and slimeballs like them belong to as PIs that run around murdering people for him. Hey, I got your guys on camera opening my door last night, my garage door. You only got it up a half a foot. The bar kept from going any further. Forgot to tell you, candid cameras are on the house, fuck brains.
Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What have you found in your conversations that would add to that idea of creating a, I don't want to say fascist, but a state of where we have to protect you.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a lot about it. It's, let's see, it's called the Cloven-Driven Strategy of the 1960s by two professors of social science at Columbia, that they wanted to overwhelm the social welfare system and collapse it to make the government have to take a greater role for the poor. And even Mad Maxine has stated explicitly that she does not want these establishments to reopen. She wants the economy to be destroyed. I mean, it's so perverted, it's hard to believe any American would want to destroy the greatest economic engine the world has ever seen. But that appears to be part and parcel of the master plan at work here.
Now, one of the things, Jim, that I, and Paul, and Stu, that I do not understand is Omar got in here as a citizen because she married her brother. You can't, they don't recognize marriages like that. You can't do it.
Yeah, but that just came very, very far away from the issues of the riots and all that. I mean, there are lots of fascinating aspects that are rather esoteric we could pursue, Joel, but I think we ought to stay right on target. Your question about the master plan here, I think, was appropriate, but that she married her brother to get him into the United States under false circumstances, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Okay, what I'm referring to on that, Jim, is these convoluted, weird events that don't make sense and seem to be disconnected. That's the only reason that I presented that. It is this drift toward the centralization of power.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think this thing, I think this effort to try to tarnish Trump over these riots is not going to work. I've heard one guy, my wife is addicted to MSNBC, he was trying to slant it and say these were people in MAGA hats, but I don't see a lot of black rioters out there who are voting for Trump, although I do say this, in December, late December, just before the COVID crisis, there was a new poll results, and I believe it was Gallup, which is not a pollster favorable to Trump, showing 40% of blacks intended to support Trump because of what he'd done for them economically, that it really was raising all boats, that the lowest wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the fastest rate, and that they were appreciative of his shutting down immigration on the southern border because those low-paid workers undermine their ability to raise their quality of life. And I think this may have been what set off the Democrats in a panic mode, both to support the COVID crisis, but also now these riots. Without black support, they can't win an election. And then, of course, you had the unbelievable gap of Joe Biden saying, if you don't vote Democratic, you ain't black. There are those who think this was also in part motivated to control the man is brain damaged and cognitively impaired, couldn't possibly run as candidate. Increasingly, it looks to me as though they're going to try to pull Michelle Obama as a rabbit out of a hat.
Joel, I want to pick something up because we're going to end the show here shortly. I think we made our point today. But I want you to pick up on Israel for a minute and Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law.
Well, the things that I've read on the blogs is that Jared has been appointed to take care of the problems that exist with building the wall. Further, Jared's father is an ex-con. He was put in prison for 5 years. I think his first name is Charles. But now, having said all of that, Pompeo has now gone to Netanyahu and said, you can now annex the West Bank. How is that? How can you do that? Then saying again, like I said before, to the Palestinians, you are not citizens of Israel. That means when they go to do the annexing, where are these Palestinians going to go? Putting a push and a pull, pressure from the top, pressure from the bottom, and this is exactly what's going on now with this burning up of cities.
There's an agenda here. Now, I want to add to Jared Kushner for a minute. I think he was a Mossad agent, in my opinion. And I say it because after 9-1-1, which is over the oil pipeline to come out of the Yugoslavia oil in Yugoslavia, the second largest oil find in the world, and in 97, the government cut a deal, Chevron did, with the Yugoslavia oil boys. Well, there was someone appointed when the Soviet Union fell apart. Someone was appointed to manage their oil, and it turned out to be a Mossad operative. And for 10 years, he was stealing the Yukos oil. And Leonard Milman, my ex-father-in-law, who had the third largest shipping company in the world, was pulling his, which is now controlled by Larry Mizell, that demon jumped in him, the fallen angel alien. He has the third largest. Well, they were taking oil off the west coast of Russia out in the ocean and filling up tankers and taking it to Israel and selling it for 50 cents on the dollar. When Russian Putin saw that 9-1-1 was a staged event, and he sees all the Russians, or Daddy Bush and Kissinger and Milman and all these going over to meet in Moscow with the head of Yukos Oil, he arrested the guy, found out, he immediately did an investigation, and he had him arrested for stealing $2.5 billion of money from Yukos Oil. So they released him, getting presidential pardon, Putin did, about 2 years ago. He ran back to Israel. Now, prior to that, Milman was selling the oil for 50 cents on the dollar to Israel. Larry Mizell is doing the same thing off the coast of Syria, where Joel found out about it, same shipping company, the whole bit, taking it down there. He's selling it for 50 cents on the dollar, and they're stealing it. But here was the point. Putin put a halt to it. He gained back the oil. He arrested the guy and the whole bit. Who comes in and picks up a contract between Putin and Bibi Netanyahu, Israel, to start supplying him again with that oil instead of 50 cents on the dollar? At Putin's price, Jared Kushner. That's how he made his billions. I think he made $2 or $2.5 billion off of broken oil from 9-1-1 forward. Just wanted to add that to the picture. You gentlemen have anything to say? Final words?
No. Well, I just want to add one curiosity. I can't nail it down for sure, but I understand now that China is running the ports that feed resources into Israel. I can't confirm it. I meant to look into it, but I think all of these connections suggest a worldwide agenda of the people at the top. And their stated goal over and over again has been a new world order. And that new world order is a place where there are very, very few rich and many, many poor and miserable. And it's not too big a projection to suggest that a great culling, a great genocide is not far off unless people wake up and mobilize and come up with a response that stops what's going on.
I'd like the word citizen's arrest. It's legal to do the politicians who violate their oath of office, folks, in case you didn't know. Any last words, Jim Fetzer?
Stu, I think we covered the bases, my friend.
I think we covered them all. Joe, you got any last words?
Yep, no, I'm none.
I want to thank all three of you very much for coming on. And, Jim, what's your website?
JamesFetzer.org, also on Twitter, at Jim Fetzer. I have a new show, by the way, called The Conspiracy Guy on Sunday evenings. I began last Sunday with the coronavirus pandemic. Was it a medical emergency or a political stunt? And tonight I'm doing what I have heretofore regarded as the greatest hoax in world history, the moon landing. Was it reality or illusion? To leave no doubt how we know we didn't go. Tonight at JimTheConspiracyGuy.com from 10 to midnight Central Time, 11 to 1 a.m. Eastern, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific.
All right. Great to have all three of you on. Jim, thank you very much. Paul and Joel, have a good day.